is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Man, you'd think there were 200 people here today. Amen. Thank you guys for that powerful response. Amen. Somebody's excited right down front, and I like that. Thank you. Some folks were excited earlier on over there as well. Thank you for that. As we look at the 1 Thessalonians, we're going to be in chapter 5 today. And it's a great book. I really just wanted to cover the whole dang thing. Lucky for you, I'm just covering several verses in it. But Paul is writing this letter to the church in Thessalonica, and that's just a fun name to say. Everyone say it with me. Thessalonica. Yeah, I know. Aluminum foil, what, huh? You know, it's hard to say. Thessalonica, but I love saying that. And as they went and started the church, he had trouble forming the church there. Why? Well, because when good things are happening, Dr. Johnson told us a few months back, what's going to happen? Devil's going to be there. Devil's going to be in the midst of good things. And when they're trying to start this new church in Thessalonica, there several people received it and said, this is great news. But then there was a group over here that said, this is horrible news. They're ruining it for us. And they sought to destroy him. So they said, well, let's head out of town. And they headed down to another town. They found out they were there. They headed down there to chase him down. He said, why don't we head on back? So Paul headed back to Corinth, and there he met Timothy and Silas. Now, Silas was with him for a little bit in Thessalonica, but he headed back there, and he said, I've got to send somebody back to check on the church. We started, and as you know, new church plants, new converts, we've got to check up on them. So he sent Timothy back, and he sent him with this first epistle or first letter to the church. And he was just concerned about their questions, and Timothy brought it back. Timothy went to visit, came back with their questions, and then this is Paul's response to those questions. He sent a letter back responding to that. Now, there's a second letter as well. That was a little different. He was responding to some things that were happening. They had some questions about the end of times. They had some questions as well about authority, and they had people struggling in those areas. So let's read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we are going to start in verse, well, it's the same thing. I wanted to read more, but verse 12. And it says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, why is he saying this? Well, it's a new church. So with a new church, you have all new converts. Hey, we're coming here. We're going to start a new church. We're going to have all new converts. I'm going to teach you guys about the gospel. I'm going to give you some easy application for it. And I'm going to give you some steps to help you continue in your faith. Now, when they do that, that's great. And then the leader leaves, and he says, I'm going to put this person in charge. They were struggling. There was a lot of individualism. Now, we know around that time, there were a lot of people trying to rise to the top. Here's a brand new faith. I want to be known for this. I want to be known at this church. I want to lead them. Hey, I'm a great orator. I can speak. I can do these. And people were struggling to lead. Worse yet, they were struggling to follow. And Paul said, man, I've put these people in charge of you. By the way, they're sent by the Lord. Y'all bear with me. I have one smudge right in the middle of my glasses, and I can't read my own writing up here. I'm familiar with most of it, but I like to make sure I'm covering everything. Hope that made it better. I can see. All right, the scales are off my eyes. I can now see. Whew. Amen to that. Sorry about that. I hate interruptions like that. My own doings, you know. Take it off to rub my nose or something and get a smudge on there. Anyway, he goes in there and he tells them, these leaders, right here says, recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord. These people are established and set in place by the Lord. Now I need you guys to follow behind them. And he goes on in verse 14, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Dang it, there's that Christian thing that says you can't just worry about yourself. It says worry about the good of you, oh, and your group. You got to worry about the big picture now. Because you see, you're all in this together. Those of you that may have visited us and met me at some point, I have this tendency to say, we may not have it all figured out, but we're all in this together, and we're all learning together and trying to grow together in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I sure as heck don't have it all figured out. But I want all of us learning together. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. We want to make sure we're taking care of the big group here. As we take care of the big group, we help ourselves out. That's going to increase our joy. By the way, let me go back here to page one. Sermon titled, Continued Thanksgiving. We were driving home yesterday or last night, and I told my wife, well, Thanksgiving's over. No need to be thankful anymore, right? She looked at me like I was crazy. I said, I'm just kidding. That's part of my message tomorrow. You see, this Thanksgiving, for those of us that believe, it's year-round. It's year-round. Well, let's get to that in verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. For who? For you. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that you give thanks, that you rejoice always, you pray without ceasing. What's the fear of doing if we don't do that? Verse 19, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now we've read this scripture before. I've read it before a couple times in different messages and in different aspects. But I want us to think about this today. Rejoice always. Now we talked last week, if you remember, about happiness. Happiness is what? It's a response to circumstances. It's an emotional response. But joy, we said, joy should be constant in your life as a believer. Jesus tells us that. He wants us to have joy and have it to the full. He came that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And He desires these things for His people. Paul's telling the church, recognize those that are in authority over you. They got their authority from the Lord. By the way, he says, be patient with those people in the church. You got a lot of new people, and some people learn and grow at different stages and different paces and to different levels. I can't imagine some of the work you all do that I would have no desire to learn at all. Ben, talked to you last week. What are you going to school for? He said, economics. I said, Oh, that just pains me. And he said, I became interested a couple years ago. And I thought, at different times, we become aware of things and interested in things and to different levels and depths within that. I applaud you for that, Ben. Because economics, I like what it does for me, but I don't want to know about it, you know, that type of stuff. The rest of you, the same things. Oh, teachers. No. Not in the classroom, not in those settings. Yeah, praise God for the teachers. But we have so many people here doing technical things, things with their hands, whatever it is. We learn and grow at different paces. So, therefore, be patient with all. We have to be patient with those folks that have different needs, different knowledge, different information that they were given, different upbringing. My upbringing was different than my wife's. She needs to have patience with me, and I need to have patience with her, just from the differences in the upbringings. Now let's look at this verse 16 a little deeper. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now he does go on in verse 23. Let me read the rest of this and then we'll pick back up. And he says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now when he says blameless, that's different from being sinless. They're not talking about the same thing. But I want you to notice, he says, brethren, pray for us. He prays for himself. He prays for the ministry that he's doing. Paul does. But Paul has no problem saying, I desire your prayers. Church, I'm sure Eric would be in agreement if I said, pray for your pastors continually. We desire your prayers. We need your prayers. When we preach, we pray for each other. Whoever's preaching, we pray in the office before we go out and preach. How great is that? Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Now Jesus, when he was sitting with his disciples, he took bread. And it says, after giving thanks, he broke it. Now, do you think Jesus Christ knows where he's heading after that? Yeah, we read that. He knows where he's going. But after giving thanks, he broke it. He said, do this in remembrance of me. So I don't want us to think Jesus didn't know what I'm going through. He didn't have to go through what I'm going through. Do you really want to trade places with him? Take those beatings they gave him? I'll let you pick up that cross and drag it to the back door of the sanctuary if you want a little of what he had to go through after being beaten. I'm sure we can find a hammer to take those big giant spikes on the cross and drive them through your hands and your feet, as they did Jesus Christ. But remember Hebrews, last week we read that, says we don't go through anything that he hasn't faced. He knows what we go through. He had given thanks when he broke, and then he broke the bread. But it was not based on his present circumstances. And I want us to think about this continued thanks. Continued thanksgiving that we should have throughout the year. It's not based on our present circumstances. Great, what's it based on? One of the hardest things for Christians to grasp. It's not about the here and now. It's about your future joy in heaven with him. You see, we're here and now, so this is what we know. This is what I can see right here. I can't see that. And in the back of my mind, there's just a little thing that says, what's it really going to be like? But that's where our joy comes from, is our future circumstances. Our future joy that he promises will be there. It's easy to live in the present here and now and think, God, I'm in this four-sided wall and I'm grabbing the edge and I'm trying to pull myself up, but I don't have the strength to pull myself up and see outside of these four walls of the circumstances that I'm facing. Jesus said, I need you to look to me. And it may be that you can't look up and out and see that, but you can always look up and see that. John 16:33. It says, in this world, you will have trouble. Or tribulation. I don't say you might. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. Believers were pretty open and honest about that. And you're thinking, well, why would I sign up for that? I am in trouble without doing this. Listen on, hang on. Where's the joy in all that? But he tells us after that, just wait for it. He says, but be of good cheer. So he tells us, you're going to face trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. Why? And he says, because I have overcome the world. You don't have to face that alone. I've overcome it. I went through that on the cross. And you don't have to deal with that alone anymore. Quit trying to deal with it on your own. I let them beat me. Remember last week, Father, if there's any way for this cup to pass, let it. But let your will be done. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And for me, those circumstances will come. They'll always be around. A friend hurt me. A friend deserted me. A boyfriend, a girlfriend hurt me. A boyfriend or girlfriend deserted me. A husband or wife hurt me. A husband or wife deserted me. My parents, my children hurt me or deserted me. In this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. You're looking at your present circumstances, and I'm telling you, stop doing that. Look to the future. Jesus Christ, what? The author and finisher of our faith. The finisher. I have overcome this for you. I allowed that brutal beating, and I allowed them to hang me on the cross, even though I had the power to get off of the cross. So that you and I could be free. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Go back a few verses. It says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. I always love that. Why? For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Amen? We don't have to live in this darkness. We don't have to be surprised when the day of the Lord comes. None of this should be shocking to us. But rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Continued thanks. Now we've got all the crazy shopping we have to do, and the drivers and whatever. Continued thanks. You know, my Bible in the notes down below, it says nothing speaks more powerfully of a walk with God than continuous thankfulness. I love that. Nothing speaks more powerfully of a walk with Jesus or walk with God than continuous thankfulness. So I've got a challenge. Oh Lord, a biblical challenge. It's pretty simple. Instead of pointing out negatives in situations, I want you to spend the next week finding a positive in that situation and mention it. I found a positive, but did you mention it to somebody? We want to point out negatives and then just hold that positive stuff. Usually negatives come out in public and the positives are in private. Oh, by the way, great job. You know, those type of things. Instead of pointing out a negative in a situation where you normally would, let's throw that in there, find a positive in that situation and mention it. Replace grumbling with gratitude. Huge difference. They both start with GR, but after that, it's just completely different. Replace grumbling with gratitude. And instead of looking and dwelling in the past, look to the future blessings and the future joy and the promises and the grace. You know, what I didn't say was, looking at thanks, the Greek root words for those things are thanks, joy, and grace. All that has to do with the base word that is Greek for thanks. And I thought, how appropriate that grace is tied in there with thanks, and joy is tied in there with thanks. So look to the future blessings. Look to the future promises. Look to the future grace, the future joy for His blessings. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace shown to us. For the joy that You have put inside of us, the constant rather than the temporary happiness, but the constant that You have put in us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we sat in silence for those few moments, what joy it was for me just to listen to the wind blowing through the air. Lord, Lord, to hear the cries of infants. The joy of those infants. Lord, although your word says that we will face trouble, Lord, we do thank you. We do thank you for overcoming the world. Lord, for those here today that are in pain and suffering, physical, emotional, mental, financial, Lord, whatever it is, pain and suffering, sometimes behind a mask of a smile, the mask of jokes. Lord, you know their real pain. I ask you to give them boldness to cry out to you to help them through that. Lord, I ask that you give them boldness to talk to somebody about that. Rather than feeling they're all alone, even in a family of believers here, that you would give them boldness to speak to someone, just to share some of that weight that they carry. Lord, while we celebrated Thanksgiving this last week, we do ask that you remind us constantly to give thanks. To rejoice always and in everything to give thanks, for this is your will for us. Lord, as we go out this week, help us to remember the challenge set forth. Simple yet difficult. Bridling our tongues and training them. Be with us as we go out. Lead us. Light our path. Help us to do good to others, to reflect your love and your light, to be light and salt to others, and just guard our tongues against one another, those we know and don't know. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.